Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, the opening verses. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. The Apostle Paul has devoted a long passage to a careful and detailed examination of the question concerning the status of Gentile believers. In Ephesus, the original nucleus in the church was Jewish, but subsequent success through the Apostle's ministry had seen the conversion of many Gentiles. The question arises, is there to be maintained a distinction still between the Jew and the Gentile? No, argues the Apostle. Through Christ and his work, Jew and Gentile are now united in one body. They have both been brought on an equality into the Christian church. Now it is at this stage that Paul introduces himself, explaining that he has had a unique role in God's purpose to bring this to the pass. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. And he opens chapter 3 with these words, for this cause, meaning that on account of preaching this doctrine, that the Gentiles are to be received, and that the Gentiles come on the basis of faith, and that the Gentiles become fellow members with Jews in the Christian church. For this cause, he says, I am the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. If you go back for a moment to the book of Acts and chapter 22, you'll see that his problems arose because of his conviction concerning these things. In chapter 22 and verse 21, he's speaking before a council, and Paul says that the Lord said to him, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And Paul's problems arose from that point and ultimately led to his imprisonment in Rome itself. Paul thought of himself, therefore, as a prisoner for you Gentiles. The fact is, as he goes on to say, a dispensation of the grace of God has been given me. A dispensation means a stewardship or an office. It has been graciously conferred upon him. To do what? To be an instrument in calling out the Gentiles and bringing them into the Christian church. Now, although the apostle had been at Ephesus, it would seem from these words that even they did not appreciate what he was appointed to accomplish. And therefore he says in verse 2, if ye have heard, if ye have heard. They knew he was an apostle, but not perhaps one who was appointed particularly to preach outside of Israel and to bring about a new man, a new body, a new society made up of Jews and Gentiles. Paul proceeds to say that he had received revelation about this, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. The mystery in the New Testament is not a secret which is still kept, but a secret which has been made known. And what is this mystery? Well, he tells us in verse 6 that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. This has been revealed to him, he says. The Lord has made it known to him. And again, we have only to go back to the book of Acts and think of Paul's conversion, or that which led up to his conversion. In chapter 9, verse 15, the Lord said unto him, "Go thy way," this is Ananias, "for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." And then in chapter 22 and verse 21, or chapter 22 and verse 21, he said unto me, Paul recalls, "Depart, I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles." So it was by revelation that this had been discovered to Paul. And he says he'd written before of this in a few words. The reference is to chapter 2, where he's spoken of the Gentiles being no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Whereby when ye read, he says in verse 4, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. That is, my knowledge of the plan of God, here designated the mystery of Christ. Why? Because it concerns Christ as the head of a church. Christ as the head of a new community, wherein Jew and Gentile are united. And one last thing he says here in verse 5. "In other ages it was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." God had from eternity had it in mind. And there was indication of it in the Old Testament. God's promise to Abraham that in thy seed all the families of the earth would be blessed. There was intimation of it. And to Jacob, who speaks of the coming of Shiloh, and unto him shall the gathering of the peoples be. And to David, in the second psalm, where the father is heard saying to the son that he would give the heathen for his inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for his kingdom and possession. So what does Paul mean when he says, "In other ages it was not made known unto the sons of men as it is now revealed"? What he means is this: it was not clearly stated in the Old Testament that the Jewish theocracy would come to an end and that it would be replaced by a new community, the Christian church. Still to this day, there are Reformed Christians who believe that the Gentiles have just been incorporated within Israel. That is not Paul's teaching. Paul's teaching is that what the Lord has done back in chapter 2, verse 15, is of two, he has made one new man. The Christian church is a new society. It's a new community. It's not that the Gentiles have been brought in to the Jewish theocracy. It is that the Jewish theocracy has been terminated, and God has established the Christian church, in which Jew and Gentile are one, being both full members of that church. So let us have it clearly stated. What precisely is the mystery? Well, here it has been revealed, Paul says, by the apostles and prophets of the New Testament, by the Holy Spirit, and this is what it is, verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Now that speaks of three things, which I can only briefly refer to this morning. One is God's heaven. The Gentiles, he says, are fellow heirs. Now, what is it to be an heir? It is to stand in a position that legally entitles you to an inheritance. And the Gentiles are fellow heirs, not of any temporal inheritance, whose resources are limited and whose tenure is uncertain. But as Peter reminds us in that second letter of his, the first letter rather, and chapter 1 and verse 4, it is an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And Paul thrills at this, that God has intended to make the Gentiles fellow heirs. He has intended to give heaven to the Gentile peoples of the world. What a stupendous truth this is. An inheritance has been prepared for us, as our Lord says, from the foundation of the world. True, by our sin, we forfeited it in Adam, the sign of which was banishment from the earthly paradise. But Christ Jesus has come into the world to redeem our inheritance, to pay the price that it might be returned to us. And so chapter 1 verse 14 speaks of the purchased possession. And now God, through the gospel and by his Spirit, does a wonderful thing. He brings us to new birth. We are born again. We are changed, as it were, after a godly manner, to bear God's image as the children of God. And then set before us is the legal document of the covenant of grace, set out in the gospel with its promise of everlasting life and of heaven restored. And we have this promise. And there is a waiting time. From the time that we receive the right to the inheritance and take possession of the inheritance. And we're in that waiting time now. We have the promise of heaven, the kingdom prepared for us from the foundation of the world. There it is. We have the evidence in the promise of God, but we wait to actually claim our inheritance and enjoy it. And the day will come when we shall, with all the people of God, we shall enjoy our inheritance. Friends, it's a wonderful thing that this doesn't belong to the Jew. It belongs to the Gentile. It doesn't belong to them. It belongs to us. God has made us fellow heirs. Oh, how important then it is to make sure that you have experienced the great change. That there are evidences about you which show that you are the children of God. That you bear the mark of His holiness and His likeness in your soul and in your life. How important to clear your evidences. As Peter says, what manner of persons ought you to be? If we have this inheritance of glory awaiting us, then we should not be indulging the flesh, and we should not be living in this world as if that were the end of everything. We stand aloof from the pleasures and the profits of this world because our mind is set upon heaven. And it is a great comfort to us in our sorrows and distresses, that whatever we experience in life, we have an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away. And what a comfort that is when loved ones in Christ die. We have an inheritance. And what a comfort to us when we come to die. We have an inheritance. So we ought to be showing holiness in our lives. We ought to be weaned more and more from this world, our conversation set upon things above, where Christ is seated. And we ought to have comfort in life and in death, because we are fellow heirs. God's heaven. Secondly, God's church. And of the same body. Now, what does he mean by body here? Well, if you go back to chapter 1 and verse 22 and 3, you'll read of the church which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all, the church which is his body. And here is a second wonder. That the Gentiles have not only become heirs of heaven, but members of God's church in this world. Members of the body. Christ has a physical body, which is now in heaven, and a mystical body, which is here upon earth. And we are part of that body. Christ is present in our midst. And there are innumerable members of this body. And yet they all make up a whole. one body, we being knit to him by faith and knit to one another by love. And it's in this body of the church that we carry on the Lord's work of spreading the gospel. And there is a body of Christ throughout all the world which is engaged in what Christ is continuing to do, to reach the ends of the world with the truth of the gospel of free forgiveness, to bring the light of the glorious gospel to heathendom, to shout from the hills and in the valleys that Jesus saves. And the body is caring for itself, not only engaged in that service without, but looking after itself. Just as the members of the body look after other members of the body. I put a finger in a door and it hurts me, and my other hand comes immediately to hold on to that finger and to bring it some sort of comfort. The church is like that, the body. There is a mutual love and a mutual concern and a mutual sympathy and a mutual support and a mutual help all over the body. One day this body, this glorious body of Christian men and women, Jews and Gentiles, bond and free, barbarian, Scythian, Jew and Greek, they shall all be transported, one body, into the kingdom which is forever. Now, my friend, the application is obvious. As Christians, it is true that God has formed us for his praise, to show forth his glory. The whole body of Christians must therefore do the will of God, carry out the Great Commission, love one another fervently. The whole body must grow spiritually in closer conformity to the Word of God, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, growing unto the measure of a perfect man, until the whole body is in heaven, not a limb missing, not a member absent, but the whole body is glorified. What a privilege to be a member of this body, which God has formed for his praise, to do his work upon the earth, that we might care for one another, that we might grow in holiness and one day be in heaven. The Gentiles, Paul says, and this is the second part of the mystery, are not only fellow heirs, but praise be to his name, they are of the same body. God's heaven is theirs, God's church is theirs. And thirdly, God's Spirit, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. The promise here is the promise of the Spirit. Do you remember how our Lord said to his disciples before ascending that they were to tarry in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me? And the promise was the Holy Spirit. And the scripture speaks of men being partakers of the Holy Spirit, Hebrews 6. They who have partaken of the Holy Ghost. And here is a third wonder, that we who were strangers and aliens and outcasts We who were regarded as dogs and as the refuge of the world, we who had none of the privileges of the saints, we have not only been given God's heaven and not only given God's church, but we have been given God's Spirit. That Spirit might change us and renew us. The renewing of the Holy Ghost. That Spirit may sanctify us. Sanctification of the Spirit. That Spirit may lead us in the way of holiness. As many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. That Spirit may strengthen us in holy resolve to be the Lord's among an apostate people and in a wicked generation. That Spirit may keep us undefiled from the world, uncontaminated by its evil. And that Spirit may ultimately fit us for heaven. For he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who hath also given to us his Holy Spirit. Here we come to the heart of the thing. Fellow citizens, we have God's heaven. Of the same body, we have God's church. Partakers of his promise, we have God's Spirit. And God's Spirit will enable us to be faithful members of the church. And God's Spirit will enable us to be prepared and meet for the inheritance of the saints in light. Oh, my friends, we need the Holy Spirit. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Do you pray for the Holy Spirit? Do you pray that the Holy Spirit will deal with you and mortify your passions? Do you pray that the Holy Spirit will be given you and strengthen your graces? Do you pray that the Holy Spirit will be so poured upon you that you will gain victory over your sins and break the habits of a lifetime and live godly in Christ Jesus? You can pray that, even though you're Gentiles. You can pray that because you are partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. What hath God wrought? I don't think we appreciate what we were. We were reprobate silver. We were outside the commonwealth. We were abandoned to nature's night. And God could have left us forever without the favors of his heart and the blessings of his right hand. He could have dealt with Israel and Israel alone. He could have loved them. He could have redeemed them. He could have called them. He could have kept them. He could have brought them to heaven. And the kingdom could have been filled with Jews. But the mystery, the open secret is this: that God has willed that we should be part of his purpose. Fellow heirs of the same body, partakers of the promise, what God hath wrought. Oh, let it fill our hearts with gratitude and our lips with praise. To those that were no people, he has said, they shall be my people. And to those who never obtained mercy, he has extended mercy. And to those who were outside, he has brought them inside. And my fellow Christian believer, you stand this morning by the grace of God. You are what you are by the grace of God. You have been saved by the grace of God. He could have left you and would have left you had it not entered his eternal heart to make you fellow citizens of the same body, partakers of the promise. To that end, Paul says, I devote my days to be an apostle of the Gentiles. And to that end, we devote our powers this morning to pray, to witness, to give, to help, and to do all in our power to see the peoples of the world coming to the feet of Jesus Christ. For he must reign, and he shall reign to the glory of God. Amen.